Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In 1 Kings chapter 2, King David, he is about to no longer be king. He's going to hand this off to the kingdom of Israel and Judah, off to his son, Solomon, okay? And he wants to do this, of course, before he dies. And so he is getting ready to do that, as he promised. And so, you know, I got to share this with you. I think the Lord just put this in my heart for somebody here. I didn't plan on sharing this. So we're going to get back to the other sermon in just a moment, if the Lord lets us. I don't know if you know the history of King David. He was a boy. He was anointed as king to follow after the king before him, which was Saul. David went through a lot of things in his life, but he was a real worshiper of God. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't ever sin. In fact, there was a place where he was an adult and he knew better, and King David committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. He tried to cover up that adulterous act, correct? Yeah. He tried to cover up that adulterous act, and to kind of cover that up, he committed murder in doing so, right? I mean, he didn't commit the murder, but he gave instructions that Bathsheba's husband should really kind of be in the battle at a strategic place so that most likely his life would be taken, okay? So that now Bathsheba no longer has a husband. Well, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, you know that she conceived, right? And so all these events went on. Anyhow, the child, after the husband dies, he does take Bathsheba as his wife. And we know, according to the teaching of Scripture, adultery is sin. Okay? By the way, not an unforgivable sin. But there's sin, and it's a serious deal. And it affects us, it affects people around us, all of that, but it affects our relationship with God anytime we commit any sin. This is the reason I'm giving you a little bit of history, is because I'm going to tell you something here in a moment that some of you may still struggle with your past, what you've done in your life. And maybe it wasn't adultery, but it's something that still weighs on you. You've maybe even asked forgiveness for it. But it troubles you. And I want you to know that if we are honest and we repent and we confess to God and we allow Him to turn our life around, that which was sinful and bad, when we come to Him honestly and move on in our relationship with Him and get things right with Him, that out of those things, God has the ability, and only God has the ability, to bring forth something that's right and good. He's the only one that knows how to do that. You and I can try to cover up stuff, but only God can forgive and take out of that and bring forth something good in our life that was a very dark time. It's a wonderful mercy and grace of God. And I want you to know this, that Bathsheba becomes David's wife. And all of these sins that they remember and other people knew about, okay? That Bathsheba becomes one of his wives and she does conceive again. And her son's name is, the one we know about, is Solomon, who becomes king after David. So Solomon, David here in the scripture is talking to his son Solomon and about to hand off the kingship of Israel and Judah to him. And do you know that the scripture says that God made this promise to him in a dream that there would never be anyone ever in humanity again as wise as Solomon? No one wiser than him before him or after him, other than Jesus. He's God. The wisdom of Solomon. So he's handing off this kingdom to Solomon. Now, this is the part why I paused on this, because this really isn't part of the sermon, is that, you know what, you are here, someone is here, maybe there's more than one, and you have had a dark hour in your life somewhere. Maybe you're still in it. And it's like you want to move on, but you can't get rid of this stuff. Maybe circumstances around you may have even changed and it's a little bit easier, but you're dragging with you in your soul, your mind, your heart, your emotions, things that have been like a residue still sitting on you from those dark hours. Dark time. Sinful time. Maybe you haven't even broken free from it. I want you to know that you respond and ask God forgiveness, and you are genuinely sorry. He will never turn away a broken spirit, a broken heart. That's his promise. That's his word. If you are genuine, sincere with him, forgiveness can come to you, and I want you to know that things can be turned around, and that even out of that dark hour, God can bring forth something that is good from him. David and Bathsheba and all that went on. And now they have a legitimate son, and he becomes king. And I want you to know that when he was anointed king, in chapter 2 and 3, you would find this, that David begins to instruct Solomon. And David calls Bathsheba in and says, as I have promised, I am about to hand over the kingship, the kingdom, to our son, your son, Solomon. And God has promised, and God promises that if Solomon will walk before God the same way David did, in the repentant heart, a heart of faith, a heart of worship, and he will obey the laws of God, that God would bless Solomon. Now, this is one of those contingent blessings. One of those, if you, then I will. You understand that. We do that kind of stuff all the time, right? If you clean your room, then I will, you know, bless you. Allowance. I'll give you more time on PS3. Xbox, whatever. PS3 box, Nintendo 64, whatever it is, I don't know. Atari. How many remember that? Woo! Pong. Pong was perfect for me. It had one control. Yeah. You know, you turn it and the thing slides up or down. Now they got controls. Hey, Dad, play this with me. I'm holding the thing, and there's buttons and arrows and knobs and joysticks and triggers underneath, and I'm like, what does what? There's no, I know, I'm getting old. Our youth pastors looking at me like, yeah, dude, you're just, you know. So, where was I before Atari? Contingent blessing. Thank you, Joshua. God said, if you, then I will. There is blessings that God extends to us because he is a God who likes to bless. Like, in other words, we don't earn his love. He just, I want you to hear this, he just loves you. If you're in this room, and maybe you haven't been here, you've been here a few times, or I don't know where you've been in your life, maybe another, whatever. I don't know all your history, but I want you to hear this morning. Regardless of who hurt you or who's disappointed you, and maybe it's even been a Christian person, I want you to hear this. Beyond all of that, the God who is and causes to be, he loves you. That's it. You don't earn it. That's just a blessing he gives you out of his kindness, his grace, his mercy. It's who he is. It's his nature. He can't withhold it. He just got to do it because it's his nature. Then there are blessings that are contingent blessings. If you, then I. And it's really a promise. He says, if you, then I will. And God always keeps his promise. And so David's giving instruction and counseling his son and going to hand this off to him. And Solomon, at the very beginning, he basically says, God, I need your help. I don't even know how to walk in as king and get up and leave the room as king. I mean, he just says, I need your help. And he even goes and he makes sacrifices to God. Now, he did have to go make sacrifices where other believers in God were making sacrifice in that time of animals. Sacrifices up in high places because the temple was not yet established and built. But we know that it's built under Solomon's reign. He finishes his own house and he finishes God's house. And after he finishes the houses, well, now he starts to get married. But there were some instructions that were given to Solomon. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. He's been king now for a little while, and he had a humble start, and he was instructed, and he was making sacrifices to God. And he loved God, and he was honoring God. And now look what transpires in Solomon's life. 1 Kings chapter 11, we'll just start with verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, the Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for they shall surely turn your heart away and turn your heart towards their gods, small g. I want to pause here for a moment. I want you to know God is not against interracial marriage. He never was. So don't misunderstand when he says, hey, listen, Solomon, you're Hebrew, you're Israelite. Don't go marry outside of your race. It wasn't a race issue. It's always been Old Testament and New. It's always been this. It's been a faith issue. Don't marry outside of your faith. That's what the Old Testament was about. It wasn't about don't marry someone of another race. It's don't marry someone of another faith because they will turn your heart from me, God, to their wooden idols, to their gods made and fashioned by the hands of men. See, the living God was not created by man. He is not made of wood or rock or stone or any of those things fashioned. It wasn't like we collected jewelry, threw it and melted it down and created an image and then said, this is God. We didn't create God. God always was, is, and forever shall be. The God who is and causes to be from ancient of days, from everlasting to everlasting, the Alpha, the Omega. This is God. And he said to his people, listen, don't marry outside of your faith. I don't want you to leave me. Because one, because I love you. Two, if you don't acknowledge me as the only living God and follow after these idols and made up things of humanity, you're going to be lost. When it comes to eternity, we will not be together. Not only will that hurt you, but it hurts me because I love you. He tells us the same thing in the New Testament. Don't marry outside of your faith. Don't be unequally yoked. It wasn't, hey, if you're white or all the different colors of our skin all over the earth. It's not about that. It's about faith. Always has been. You and I have made it racial. But kingdom, the kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom, it's about faith. He says to God's people, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these women in love. He had 700 wives. Princesses. I want you to know a lot of these marriages that he had, understand, being the king of Israel and Judah at the time, a lot of these were political maneuvers. With different countries, I will marry your daughter, marry a princess, so that there is this allegiance and peace that they would not be invaded by God's people and armies. And so, you know, it just lent itself to, I don't know, a hobby. Seven 700 wives and princesses. As if 700 wives wouldn't be enough, he also had 300 concubines. These were women that he was not married to, but had, let's see, let's move on in the scripture. He had intimate relationship with. If you don't know what that means, go home and ask your parents. And his wives, now listen to this, here's the thing. And his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully or wholly, whole, not H-O-L-E, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Let me ask you a question. And this is for everybody in the room. This isn't just for those who don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. This is for everybody in the room, even if you call yourself saved, in other words, delivered from sin and in right relationship with God. Let me ask you something. Is your heart wholly, fully turned towards God? Or some level, somewhere, is there something in our life, my life, your life, that is just turning your heart a little bit another direction? Something in our life that begins to cool our affection towards God. Something that cools our attitude towards God, something that cools off our faith in Him. Is there something in our life that has somehow crept in that cools our affection, causes our heart to just drop a degree or two? Most of the time, if you are already a believer or a Christian, it's not like something comes in one day and you go, oh, okay. And you just turn your heart from God and walk away. It's, you know, the whole put the frog in the water over the Bunsen burner thing. Slowly turn the heat up, and the frog doesn't really know that the water is heating up, and eventually it reaches boil and never jumps out and it dies. Do you remember that from high school? We didn't do that one in high school. We just got, they just said, get the knife out. Slayed a frog. Is there something in your heart and life that's there that really kind of cools you off? you drop a degree or two in maybe your affections, the way you walk, the way you worship, the way you're going to believe God, it affects your faith. Is there something in life that cools your affection? Listen, my mother, because she was really the first salvation in our families from both sides, at least for the generations that I knew as a kid. And my mother, and I was the first of four children, doesn't mean I was her favorite, just means I was the oldest, and so I was the experiment. And she was a Christian now, and so, you know, I was just pre-adolescence when that happened to her, and moving into adolescence when, you know, all of a sudden I discovered, hey, girls are cool. Girls are different. Listen, don't come down here snorting and wheezing and stuff when I said that, because I could tell personal stories. You know, you start to know when boys begin to, you know, it's no longer just about kickball at recess. Now it's about, you know, pulling ponytails and stuff like that. You could tell when it starts to happen because, you know, boys are all about sports and digging in the dirt and doing all this kind of stuff that we do. You know, the old Tonka truck thing. Remember that? Yeah, Tonka trucks and Atari. It was cool stuff. Way better than Modern Warfare 8000 or whatever this is. I don't know. You can tell because, you know, when other little girls show up that are kind of your age, you know, instead of just playing kickball and basketball, now you have to go, you know, running by them and sliding the grass for no reason. And then you and your buddy are constantly running by them and sliding on the grass like it's cool, and the girls just looking, giggling, do girl stuff. And swing their legs on the lawn chair because they can't reach the ground, and you know, all the, you know, it's just, it's that, that's like, what are you doing? You okay? You know, because we have forgotten what it is to, you know, be that age of life. Well, my mother was saved, and I was pre-adolescent, and she prayed about a lot of things for me. But as I stepped into my teenage life, and you know, now it was a stage of life where it was okay to go hang around in mixed groups, guys and girls together. And then, you know, go on a bike ride, and now it's no longer a group. It's just you and a girl. You know, my mother, she'd put house cleaning aside and just, you know, intercede and, you know, just pray and just, oh, you know, and wail and weep and mourn. It was like, hey, it's just a bike ride. What's the, you know. And so, what her concern was, is because her son was now a young Christian, her concern was not so much about, you know, is he going to kiss a girl, and are they going to hold hands, and are they, you know, that kind of, not that road. I mean, it concerned her like any parent, but her concern was this. Is his heart going to grow cold towards God? And I remember being a teenager and now having keys to my own car, which, by the way, my parents did not give me. Had to work and save. Yep. So you did the best you could back then. The best I could do at that time of life was a 1973 Roadrunner. Okay, anyhow. Even had a little Roadrunner decal sitting up on the fake hood, this, hood scoop. Anyhow, you didn't come to hear that. But Even had little thrush glass packs on there. Till the police pulled me over and made me change them. So, anyhow, that was because of the noise, son, not because of speeding. Okay, just a little reminder. And had the keys to the car and double date and go out with friends. And I'll tell you what, I remember times where a relationship with people had an effect on me where it cooled my affections towards the Lord. My mother understood something, that it was about faith. It was about relationship with God. Anything in life that would cool our affections. Solomon, this began to cool his affection towards God, his obedience to his father's instructions. It took him outside of the blessing of contingent blessing, where God says, if you walk with me like your father did, then I will. And at the beginning, it was yes, yes, yes. And as time goes on, it's like things come in and we allow them, we drop our guard, we think things are okay, and yet things have subtly come in somewhere that cool our faith towards the Lord. And let's face it, when that happens, that's detrimental to us, because He is the life-giving flow. He is life. Listen, if we forsake God in your day of trouble, and we will all have them, who are you going to call on? Some graven image fashioned by the hands of men? Are you going to call upon some recreation that obsessed your life to deliver you? You're going to call upon modern warfare, is it three? Three? To save you? You have loved it, but it has not loved you back. You're going to be in trouble and say, oh, Modern Warfare 3, please come save me. You hit trouble in your life? You hit a hard time in your life? You think that's going to come and save you? That which you have given your affection to that has been wrong, instead of giving the affection to God? Listen, there are other people and things in our life that we give affection to. I understand that. I'm not saying that those things are evil or they are wrong and you can never do them. I'm not telling you that you can never play the video game. What I'm telling you is what God is trying to tell me and us through the Scripture, and says, hey, keep guard, pay attention. What is taking you away? What is misdirecting you just a little bit? What is causing you to not excel or be where you could be in your relationship with God, because this you have allowed in your life? What has cooled your affections? What has subtly come in? The thing that has come in may be something that's neutral. In and of itself, it is not sinful. But you have allowed your inside, your soul, your mind, your affection, your heart, that begins to affect your schedule, your responsibilities in life that are right, that we are to uphold. And it has taken from that and moved us just a little bit. Little flags go up. And if we don't notice them, we just keep going. Maybe it's a relationship. For Solomon, it was. These wives, it wasn't just that he had so many, it's that he was marrying outside the faith in God. And it turned his heart, that he allowed himself and God's people. This wasn't just about Solomon. He was the king, and he could give the law, and he could give the edict, and he could summon the people. But when he began to turn his heart slowly from God to other gods because of the influence of wives or people around him, that it didn't just affect his life, it now affected people's lives in God's kingdom, because he was king. And he allowed worship of other gods to go on. Parents, what do we allow to cool our affection towards Christ? And if we think it just affects us, it's not the case. It will affect the children and the people around you. What have you and I allowed in to our lives? Maybe something we have loved. Maybe something we have allowed in our life that we say, hey, it's not really sinful. I just kind of enjoy it. But it has moved beyond an enjoyment where now it kind of owns you. And it becomes more important than God or other things. And you think, well, I'll justify it. I'll just read a little scripture, pray a little bit, and then I can say, well, see, God, I prayed, I talked to you, so now I can indulge in something else. As if God has some kind of scale. It's about him being numero uno. Because he is God. And he wants to bless. And he wants to take care of Solomon. He wants to be good to Solomon. But there's certain blessings and things that God could not do in Solomon's life because Solomon didn't do the contingent part. If you, then God will. In Matthew 24, verse 12, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase you, it says, because lawlessness runs rampant, people's hearts will grow cold. They will grow cold towards God. Listen, salvation is not about do's and don'ts, keep the rules, you'll be saved. We are saved by faith in God's grace to us. We don't earn heaven. I don't know if somebody's told you that. I don't know if they've opened the Bible, read something, and then told you that the only way to get to heaven is you got to be good. No. It's we are saved by faith in God through Jesus Christ. He is the one that's good. I ask forgiveness. He forgives me. And now because I am saved from my sin, okay, he saved me from it, the consequences of sin, eternal death, he gives me life instead. Now because of that, I become a good person. Not to get to heaven. It's that he has made a difference in me, and so I begin to live different. You begin to think about things different. You make different decisions. And we fuel this affection for God as number one. But if something starts to creep in and cool our affections towards him, like it did Solomon, we get misled. We start going another direction. Oh, we still might acknowledge God. We still might pray. We still might go to church. We still might, you know, read the scripture. We still might have some Christian friends. But our heart is not fully turned towards him. And that's the question today. I told you, this is not complex. This is simple. Is our heart fully turned towards God? Or have things in life come in that our heart is not fully turned towards God? It's kind of like we don't want to lose him. I kind of got an eye and a little feel, a little contact with him, but I'm spending most of my resource and my life energy over here and just kind of get a glance once in a while to make sure he hasn't left me or, you know, he moved away or I turned around and he's gone. Or are we fully turned towards him? Our heart. We ask for a move and a visitation of God to be strong among us so that we wouldn't play church. So we wouldn't just come together and do routine stuff that was meaningless. We ask for him to come into this room. We pray that God would show up. Well, to work with our prayers, we have to make sure that our heart is turning so it's wholly, fully towards God. So the question is, what in your life cools your faith off? What lawlessness is happening in my life or your life that may cause my heart to grow cold? Is there some relationship you have with somebody? that is taking you away from faith? Is it just you're wrapped up in yourself? Is it that you're consumed by some hobby or recreation? You see, you and I will give our heart to something or someone. We will. And God's saying, what's it going to be? You know, in Matthew 13, Jesus gives a parable where there's a farmer going out to sow seed. He's going out to his field to plant it. Well, on his way to the field, some of the seeds fall on the path. And the birds of the air come and eat the seed. So in other words, it never really gets planted that grows and it bears fruit. Some seeds fell in kind of a rocky place on his way to the field, where there's a lot of stones, but there's a little bit of soil, but it's real thin. Well, those seeds fell there, and you know what? They took a little root in the little soil that was there, and they kind of sprung up quick. But because there wasn't enough soil there, it kind of burned out, and they never reached a maturity where they could bear fruit. Then as he was going to the edge of the field, some seeds fell among the thorns and briars. Those seeds, because it was soil there, they took root and they began to grow. But as things began to grow, so did the thorns and the briars, and the thorns and the briars began to choke out that which was growing from the seed. And Jesus says that which chokes it out, those thorns and briars, they represent, as he explains the parable, he says, that those are the things in life that we allow to take up room in us that aren't from the Lord, or they're a wrong priority, or we allow them to entangle us and it chokes out the faith. See, the seed has to do with the Word of God. And the Word of God, when we hear it, it can take root in us. And it can grow. And it will produce faith and eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the concerns of life can choke it out when we allow ourselves to be concerned with the concerns of life that cool our affection towards God. And then, of course, he reaches the field and plants the seed, and it grows, and it produces fruit. It produces not only fruit, but it produces inside the fruit, it produces more seed, that it too can be planted and grow and produce hundredfold. See, it's simple this morning. If we were to stop and really be honest with ourselves, really honest, not justify, not dance around things, but be really, truly objective with just ourselves in our own privacy. And said, what in my life has cooled my affection towards God? Is it a relationship? Is it a lifestyle? Is it I'm compulsive to hoard things, or is it attitude within me that I continue to embrace and think I'm right because I've been hurt and so I'm angry and now I become arrogant and critical and so I just hang on to that as if that has more power in my life than God does? What's hindering you? What derails you? What breeze is blowing that as you move along takes you off the bullseye? Why don't you take a moment, bow your head all over this room. I want you to know there are things in life that you can certainly enjoy and do and be a part of. No problem. But when they begin to cool our affection towards God, we have allowed, we have given permission to something to come in to cool us. And our commitment, our faith, our affection to the Lord. And if you were to be real honest, you know what it is or who it is. And when we recognize that, then it moves us to a place where we have to make a decision. Who will I be filled with? Will I be filled with God? Or will I be filled with me or that thing or that other person? Who am I really fully, wholly turning my heart towards?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.